All right, hello everybody, and welcome to The Kickoff, the very first edition of this podcast that will be brought to you by the sports blog Down by 20. You can check it out, downby20.wordpress.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. On the show, we have resident Sheffield Wednesday football club fan, Joe Ballard.
Hey, hey.
We have resident Arsenal fan, Wasim.
Hi.
Resident Chelsea fan, Kieran Ballin.
Holla.
And resident adult in this conversation, me, Jonathan.
No.
Right.
You're not above the rest of us.
Not Ballardo.
Well, for this week, we have a slate of soccer topics to bring to you, and we will lead that off with current soccer hero Clint Dempsey on his world tour right now in the English Premier League. Just had a hat trick for Fulham this week, leading them to a 5-2 victory, and also scored his first hat trick a few weeks ago for Fulham. With his hat trick last Sunday, he became the first American to score a hat trick in the Premier League.
Pretty impressive.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, he's been fantastic for Fulham this season, and it's really no surprise that he's been linked to other clubs this month. I know QPR is set to be going in with a move for him, but I think he should stay at Fulham, at least for the time being.
Yeah, Arsenal was linked to him last summer, and the thing about Clint Dempsey is that people always talk about Landon Donovan, how Landon Donovan's the best player that the game's ever produced for America, but I always thought Clint Dempsey was a couple of hairs better than him. And I didn't think he got enough credit for what he's done and what he's been doing with his career and on an international level.
Thank you. He's an unsung hero, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think so, too. I mean, it was him. I mean, sure, Landon Donovan got that goal against Algeria in the dying minutes. And that's the one everybody remembers. But you also need to remember, well, other people need to remember, is that Clint Dempsey got the equalizer against England, which some might argue is the more important one.
And not only that, too, but he's also been consistently playing in England for several years now, whereas Donovan, yeah, he keeps coming to Everton on loan spells, and he's doing very well, but Dempsey is the one who's been there year in, year out. You know, other players have come and gone, managers have come and gone, but he's been a mainstay. He's been fantastic.
The other thing about Donovan at Everton is that he doesn't make that big a difference compared to Clint Dempsey at Fulham.
Yeah, Dempsey has really been making a strong impact for Fulham, especially the last match they had him starting in a 4-4-1-1 behind the striker, but as a forward at the front, and he's really been able to make an impact for Fulham. With Landon Donovan, a lot of people think about him because he had that huge career in the MLS. I mean, he was there towards the forefront of the MLS, had his career with the San Jose Earthquakes and also with the LA Galaxy, and he's still over here with LA Galaxy winning cups. But again, at the same time, you have the MLS and you also have the Premier League, and Clint Dempsey has been making a name for himself in the Premier League.
And don't forget the Europa League, that amazing goal against Juventus. Still,
yes.
Best goal in my memory.
So yeah, Clint Dempsey, he really makes American soccer look really good right now.
He does.
Yeah, he really does. He really does.
Agreed.
All right, moving on to our next topic, we have troublemaker extraordinaire Mario Balotelli from Manchester City, and he will be serving a 4-match ban for his stomp in Manchester City's last match. What do you guys make of that?
Nobody's surprised.
I think it was completely right to ban him for 4 matches. I can't believe he was not sent off in that match, because when you look closely at the incident, he collides with Scott Parker, and he actually, you know, kind of bonks him in the head the first time, but that looked like a complete accident. But replays show that there was absolutely no doubt that the second one was a clear stomp on his head. And it was definitely intentional. And it's ridiculous because he's such a talented player, you know,
he really
doing
is.
These stupid things. And if he would just cut that out and just keep his head down and work hard, I think he's got tremendous talent, but he's got to cut out the stupid antics.
The thing is, though, they've been Roberto Mancini's been able to get more out of Balotelli than Mourinho was at Inter.
Yeah, and definitely.
He was a father, though, to Balotelli, if you think about it, though. It brought in Balotelli to Inter.
You know, when I think about Mario Balotelli over there in the Premier League, he kind of reminds me of Manny Ramirez over here in the MLB, just for his antics. So you think about Manny Ramirez and the way that he just cut up in Boston. I mean, he's a great player, but he always seemed to find himself in trouble.
Yeah, Balotelli. He's still young, and you know, hopefully he will, as he ages, he'll mature a little bit and not go along the path of, like, say, Joey Barton, you know?
But even then, I think with him being captain at QPR, I think Barton's become a bit more of an impact player now for the good of the game.
You know what, though, with Balotelli? I don't know. I feel like when you compare him and Joey Barton, Joey Barton, I get the feeling he kind of pretends to be that tough guy. Like, he's trying to be, like, the bad boy, whereas Mario Balotelli's legit just nuts.
Well, if you look at Joey Barton's Twitter, he looks more like a philosopher than a soccer player.
Oh, yeah, I know. Trust me.
But, yeah, when you made the point about Balotelli, you have to remember that Balotelli is only 20 years old. He has a long career in front of him for him to reform the way that he acts.
That's a weird thing to think about. This dude's only 20.
He is, and you know what? Like I said, if he keeps his head down, he can do big things. He can do big things for both club and country.
I agree.
All right, we're going to move on to our next topic, and we're going to stay... Although, go ahead.
Real quick before we move on.
Go ahead.
Oh, great.
I just want to share this tidbit. I still remember this. Well, not still remember this. I know this because I have this on my computer, the match. But the first leg of Inter versus Barca in the Champions League 2010, the semifinal,
mm-hmm.
It was the home leg for Inter. Inter was playing at home. And Balotelli gets thrown on in the second half. And, you know, they play. Inter wins 3-1, which everybody's excited about because it's the first time, I think, in a while that Barcelona's let in 3 goals. And everybody's like, hooray, we won the match. And then they cut to Balotelli, who just looks angry, and Andy Gray is laughing, and he's like, oh, he's still not happy.
I can't think of one time that I've seen Mario Balotelli happy on the pitch. Even when he put away that penalty against Spurs, he still had his trademark, look at me, I am Mario Balotelli, I have no facial expression.
No, that's nothing. You should have seen him when he scored the penalty against Newcastle. He just crossed his arms, walked past Tim Krul and glared at him.
Why always me?
Do you think that's arrogance on his part, though? Or is that just him trying to be, you know, the so-called bad boy of Man City?
I don't know if I'd call it arrogance, but more of him... just youth. I mean, I guess you could call it youthful arrogance, but I don't think he has any intent to it, except for the fact that, I don't know, he feels at the age of 20, you're 20 years old, you're an international superstar, and you just scored a goal, and he feels like, I mean, he has the license to do whatever he wants.
It kind of gives him to buy a Why Always Me shirt then.
Exactly. All right, well, we'll move forward. We'll stay in the city of Manchester and on the blue side of Manchester. I will go ahead and talk about Manchester City some more. We have only 6 days left at the recording of this podcast, 6 days left in the January transfer deadline, and Carlos Tevez still has not made a move from Manchester City. What is City going to do with him?
They're going to keep paying him, and he's going to keep playing golf.
No, that's false, actually. They've stopped paying him for a while now, and they've actually fined him over £9 million. They are not.
I did see that.
Yeah, I just read about it today on the BBC. He is not getting paid, which I think is a fantastic move by the city owners. They shouldn't take any crap from him. And the latest I heard is that AC Milan's out of the running. Paris Saint-Germain is out of the running, and Inter is also out of the running. So this guy's running out of options quickly.
Is he just going to run out his contract?
What I want to know is he was complaining that he wants to go back home.
Yeah, he's been complaining about that for years, and yet he just keeps moving around Europe. I just don't know what goes through that guy's head sometimes.
I think maybe going back to Argentina or out of the EPL is a good thing. I mean, he's been here for what, 5-6 years now? And he's yet to learn English. You know, being part of England, you have to learn English in the game. I'm sure there's a
bunch of... This is America!
It's America.
But the thing is, thinking about Tevez and the City dealings, I mean, AC Milan offered, what, 20 and a half million for him for a transfer from Manchester City a few weeks back. And City turned that down because it wasn't to their – they want 27 million for him. And I really don't understand how at this point the teams know that they want to give him away. And so they're really not going to try to go drive up the price to go after him. I think 20 and a half was a generous offer to get him off of their hands.
And that was AC Milan, right?
Yeah, that was AC Milan.
I'm pretty sure Inter Milan made a similar offer. And I'm sure Paris Saint-Germain, with all their money, didn't shorten them either.
But it really appears that City's not going to accept anything less than that $27 million. And that's what's really hampering them right now.
Could they just make him a free agent?
That might be best.
That'd be a
lot. You would think they could terminate his contract at some point if they really wanted to. But I don't understand why they don't just take a cut price deal. It's not. I mean, they're like the richest club on the planet now. It's not like they need the money.
Well, you remember Roberto Mancini said his squad is light, and he needs backups.
Yeah, he needs money. He doesn't have nearly enough players. That poor guy.
Yeah, I know, man.
Oh, man.
Maybe you should go back to playing Football Manager.
It might be best.
But, I mean, they've got 5 days to make this happen.
Yeah.
I think it will happen one way or another.
Over here in Europe time, it's the 26th.
And they'll have until what time on the 31st? They have until
the 11th hour, I think. It's...
Yeah.
So they've got all of these next 5 days, well, 4 days and 24 more hours to work out a deal, and we'll see. Hopefully we'll see next time this week where Carlos Tevez is when we record next week's podcast.
Yeah. I think all Man City's trying to do is buy up time and try to stall and see if anyone will break down and offer a ton of money.
They want a bidding war to start, I agree.
But it really wouldn't make sense unless a team really, really wanted him to go after him, because they know that basically they'll just be giving money away to get him, unless they really, really want to go after him to pay that $27 million that they want.
And why would AC Milan do that when Tevez is obviously going to be cup-tied in the Champions League? Because he's already played for City.
And the way I see it, I think Inter has a better chance of signing him, or should actually go after him more than AC Milan at this point. AC Milan have a wealth of striking options. Inter at this point, they need another striker. And Tevez still has bags of quality in him. If he plays to his maximum, he can still do
damage. I mean, that's, I think, Joe said it best. Why pay that much for someone who's going to be cup-tied? And you know what? For that reason, I think maybe Paris Saint-Germain is going to be able to get him, because they're not in the Champions League. I can't remember if they're still in the Europa League or not, but they're not in the Champions League, so that isn't as big a problem for them.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and move on to our next topic, and that will be to recap our match from Sunday, the Arsenal-Man United match, which also
was... I just want to throw this out there. If we had Frimpongs, we would have won.
Frimpong fan, okay.
As a note on the Arsenal-Manchester United matchup, that was the very first Premier League match to be shown on live national television over here in the United States.
I think it was a terrific game for, you know, a lot of possible new soccer fans to see, you know. I mean, whether you love or hate Man United or Arsenal, I think for neutrals, it was a very entertaining matchup.
It was a good match. It was a great first match to kick off things.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of people, a lot of my friends that don't usually watch soccer talking to me about this match, and it's kind of awestruck to actually talk to them about soccer, even though they don't really watch soccer that much.
With that being said, I'm still disappointed that it's Fox. I think ABC has always done a fantastic job with the World Cup.
ABC and ESPN are fantastic. I think Fox is, I know in my mind, they're too much of an American football corporation, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say that the Arsenal-Manchester United match, that was a very good introductory match for people who aren't really soccer fans in the United States. But the thing is that, of course, like Fox had the they had the rights to broadcast it, and they sent it out to their syndicates across the country. However, there were some syndicates throughout the United States that did not show this match at its original time, or they just didn't show it at all. Like, for example, I know in the Milwaukee affiliate of Fox were showing infomercials during the time of the Manchester United match. And WRAZ, the Raleigh-Durham affiliate of Fox, was showing a church service during the time of the Manchester-Arsenal United match, and I believe they delayed the start time by an hour.
Boo! Kind of like Arsene Wenger. Boo!
But at the same time, I did want to lead into that and see how you guys feel about Fox having these rights to show Premier League soccer in the United States. And not just that, they also have the rights to show the World Cup here in the United States. They outbid everybody to secure the rights to broadcast the World Cup over here in the United States.
You know, I think any channel that gets the Premier League more exposure over here in the U.S., I mean, let's face it, you know, the Premier League is one of the best leagues in the world, if not the best, and people who maybe can't get into MLS, you know, you turn on a Premier League match for the first time and you're going to see higher quality. You're going to see a faster pace. And I think that's, you know, it's going to get a lot more people interested. And, you know, regardless of whether it was Fox or ABC or anyone else who would have won the bidding war, I think anything that gets more of the Premier League on TV in this country is great for the sport.
I agree. But again, I just wish it was ABC and ESPN.
Very much so.
I agree too, but I think it's a good lead up, especially with Fox hosting the World Cups for 2018 and 2022. Both of which is also good in the long run, if you think about it, for the sport, because if you get more Americans involved, the viewership will definitely go up. And, you know, I think the popularity of soccer will easily go up too.
So
it's already on the rise. This is only going to help it.
Right. So about four years from now, what do you think? Do you think that soccer will be able to have like one of those major deals, that soccer will be something that people will tune into all the time? Like, you know, NBC Sports Network, the network formerly known as Versus, has the rights to show MLS soccer this year on NBC Sports Network, and also they will show a few national matches on NBC, the major network. Do you think that a few years from now people are going to be gathering around the television to support, say, Chicago Fire or Philadelphia Union?
It'll get there.
Definitely. If you see now, the number of fans that actually go to soccer games is on the rise compared to other sports. So with that, you know, soccer is bound to go up. It's the world's game for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, even in America, it has to catch on eventually. And yeah, Kieran's right. It is on the rise. And I've seen statistics now that prove that MLS has actually overtaken the NHL in popularity in this country. And that's a big deal because, you know, for the longest time now, we've always had the big four sports, you know, baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. But if MLS can break through that, then, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, you make a good point saying that the MLS is overtaking the NHL right now, which is kind of major if you think about it. As you said, the big four sports, who you look at, say, Philadelphia, like I just brought up. You have the Philadelphia Phillies, powerhouse, Philadelphia 76ers, a team that are going at the top of the Eastern Conference, the top of the Atlantic Division, the Eastern Conference, the NBA. You also have the Philadelphia Flyers, a traditional power in hockey. And also, yeah, Philadelphia Union, a team that came up just 2 years ago and have garnered such a great following. And you just think about how popular the sport of soccer has become in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a great point. I made a point of watching a few Philadelphia Union matches last season, and that was the thing that amazed me the most, was the amazing atmosphere that the fans created. And the crowds were just so huge every time I watched them. And, you know, they're only going to continue to get behind the team. And, you know, when you make that good of an atmosphere, you know, you go just as – I've heard a lot of soccer fans like to go to matches – for the atmosphere just as much as the match itself.
I happen to agree. Me and my dad were season ticket holder fans for this past season. And going to each game, it was interesting to see even the away fans that would come. There was a lot of the games were, you know, several months in Seattle, per se, right? Mm-hmm. So these games were, it was good. I love the atmosphere going into the game. To the sport, I think, rather than the players that actually play in the game.
And if you think about domestic soccer, the Chicago Fire are known for having one of the most well-known supporter groups here in the United States, along with Barra Brava at DC United and also Emerald City Supporters at Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, definitely. The Section 8 supporters, one of the most passionate fans I've seen outside of Europe. They make the games that much more enjoyable. The chanting, the confetti, the fireworks, it adds so much to the game.
Yeah, MLS fans have proven to be quite amazing. They really are.
All right, we'll stay with the domestic product of soccer here. Let's talk about our national team. And they recently came off with a 1-0 victory over Venezuela at that at University of Phoenix Stadium. And Kieran, I know you wrote an article for Down by 20 about that.
Yes, I did. I watched the game on ESPN3, and I was mighty impressed with how the team has changed from going in from 2011 to 2012. It was a good game. The flow of play was definitely much more consistent. It was a much faster game than it was in 2011. With that being said, though, these are all fringe players and experimental. I'm not too sure how they are going to be able to figure into the starting 11 of the U.S. national team, but there's definitely a lot of potential for the U.S. with the youngsters that are being produced now.
Yeah, I agree, and I think they've got the right man in charge too, in Jurgen Klinsmann. You know, we got kind of off to a slow start with the national team, but I do think that, like Kieran said, there's so many talented youngsters that a certain blonde-haired mullet kid named Brett Shea, who has, from what little I've seen of him, he's been fantastic. And last I heard, he got a trial with Arsenal. I don't know how that went. But, yeah, you know, they were a lot of fringe players, but a lot of them were quite impressive. So I think that, though, you know, just because the players are European-based, it shouldn't automatically guarantee them a starting spot. They're going to have a real fight on their hands.
I think that's one good thing that adds to the sport. By having these fringe players play, they're just getting international exposure. So if they're playing with the MLS teams now,
uh-oh, you there?
And they're playing good with the national team, their stock go up in Europe, decide to go to Europe.
Very much. Let's go ahead and move forward a little bit. Hopefully, Kieran will be able to chime in once we get back. Recently on Down by 20, we've started a new feature featuring a club of the week and a player of the week. And this year, our club of the week is Fulham. Joe?
Yeah, Fulham, like we talked about earlier, you know, Clint Dempsey scored a fantastic hat trick. But not only that, but Fulham kind of thrashed high-flying Newcastle United 5-2. Back on Saturday, and it was what was really interesting is, if I remember correctly, the score was 0-0 at halftime, but they just came flying out of the blocks in the second half, you know, led by the
actually,
American
wait,
star.
Wait,
Glenn Dempsey.
I think Newcastle had a 1-0 lead. They were obvious
choice for team of the week this week. Okay, then.
Newcastle
all the
went in
then.
At 1-0 at halftime.
But either way, for Newcastle to be able to go into the for Fulham to go into the half down 1-0 and come back and post a 5-2 victory, that's some kind of a win, and that is what propelled them to be named Club of the Week this week. Also for this week, our Player of the Week, Super Clint Dempsey.
Yeah, I mean, what else can we say about him that we haven't already said? You know, he's Fulham's go-to guy. He has been for a long time now, and you know, he proved his quality again this weekend, and he will no doubt continue to do that throughout the coming weeks in the Premier League.
I don't know about Fulham being Club of the Week, though. Personally, I'd give it to Sunderland, because Sunderland has been showing a lot of like consistency over the past, I don't know what, month and a half.
How did they do this past weekend?
They beat Swansea 2-0.
I still think to beat Newcastle, and where Newcastle is at this point in the season, it's still a good result for Fulham.
Yeah,
it's a good result.
Over the past few weeks, Sunderland probably would be one of the top choices, but I think definitely. It's the team of the week feature, and specifically based on last weekend, I think it definitely has to go to Fulham.
Norwich is a good contender too.
Yeah, definitely. They recorded their first shutout of the season against Chelsea of all teams. That was a terrific result for them as well.
Then again, they did have
Fernando
Torres.
Fernando.
He's not a Chelsea player. We're just waiting for Drogba to get back.
So you can send him back to the bench.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or send him back to Liverpool.
Can we?
Yeah. That's a great idea. So they can have another guy who doesn't score.
Who'd you rather have, Tevez?
Liverpool beat Man City today. They're in the Carling Cup final.
Yeah, they did.
Woo!
Boy.
Yeah.
Poor Liverpool. Poor Man City. Out of the Champions League, out of the FA Cup, out of the Carling Cup.
But they have money.
Yeah,
they might
look. So far, man, it's all about team chemistry.
How funny would it be if they didn't win the league?
I think for the first time in, like, probably since Sir Alex Ferguson took over Man United, I would bet that more people don't want City to win the league simply because suddenly Man United look like the lesser of two evils just because they don't throw money around. Although I would probably say that a lot of people are rooting for Spurs as well. None of you three, obviously.
I'm a closet Spurs fan, I think. Like, I like Spurs, but if it came down, it had to be Chelsea for me.
Yeah, the one thing about Spurs is that I've been watching Premier League soccer for like 9 years. I have never once seen a Spurs match that is boring. It is never boring watching
that game.
That's one
thing that captivates me about him.
It's hard to be boring this season when you have Gareth Bale up at the front, just storming all the way through another team's back line.
I wish I had the speed.
And Harry Redknapp on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to pay those taxes, Harry. Come on, pay those taxes.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and make our way out of this podcast. Before we go, we'll take a look at the matches to come for next week. And we'll start off by looking at a couple of matches, and I'm going to ask you which one of these teams needs to pick up a win more. Now, we have Liverpool will be visiting Molyneux Stadium to see Wolverhampton Wanderers, and Liverpool right now have won only one of their last five matches. And also we have Arsenal, and they will be seeing Bolton Wanderers at Reebok Stadium. And Arsenal, unfortunately, is on a three-game losing slide. Which one of these teams do you think really needs this win more?
Oh, that's a tough one, to be honest. I mean, I think Liverpool went a long way towards making up for the Bolton result with that win over Man City today. Arsenal, you know, I mean, like you said, they've lost three on the bounce now. Plus, the fans really turned on Arsene Wenger after he made that substitution that, in a way, ended up costing them the game against Manchester United. So I would say of those two, Arsenal is probably in need more of a win this weekend.
I agree. Once you have the fans against you, it's hard for a manager to pick up wins. So I think with Bolton, I think also it's a winnable game. I mean, Liverpool. But I don't know. That might have been a fluke result. Liverpool looked very lethargic in the game overall. Like throughout the 90 minutes, they looked very lethargic.
Yeah, I think they had their eyes on the Carling Cup match today.
Agreed.
Wasim, what do you think?
You're the gunner.
I'm going to go with Liverpool just because they've spent more money than us and they've been more hyped up than us.
And considering we're the club in crisis, we're still a few points ahead of them in the league.
Yeah, Arsenal sits a 1 point ahead of Liverpool. Arsenal in fifth with 36, ahead of Newcastle also with 36, and Liverpool sits in seventh with 35.
Newcastle, yeah. Europa League. Let's go.
I'm coming. Alan Pardew for England.
You know, I would say that I think Arsenal would be the team that needs this win more. Three-game losing streak, and it's just hard. It's hard on the team. It's hard on the players, and especially you have the fans. Were very upset with the change that Arsene Wenger made. Fans, especially being Piers Morgan, who voices opinion on Fox on Sunday. But I say Arsenal really needs this win more for this, especially going up against Bolton, 17th in the league. Also, Wolverhampton, 19th in the league. But still, I really think Arsenal could really use this win to help boost team morale here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking about Arsenal and Liverpool, but at the other end, you know, Bolton and Wolves both fighting relegation. Wolves, I think, are on a seven or eight game winless streak. And supposedly Mick McCarthy is pretty close to getting sacked. So I think both of those could end up being really good matches because all four of those teams are desperately in need of victories for different reasons.
Yeah, Bolton sits right now in 17th in the table with 19 points, and they sit two spots ahead of Wolverhampton with 18 points in the 19th spot.
I still think Chelsea needs to get the win.
Me too, man.
Frustrating, man. It's not good.
Put Torres on the bench, you'll be fine.
All right, well, I think that will wrap up this week for the kickoff. Thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for listening. Peace out.